Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
But write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Hola, and good evening. At this moment, you're joining a group of poets from around the world, lovers of the written word, lovers of the spoken word, as we come together to join a community and in family. Welcome home, and welcome to World Poetry Open Mic. Welcome to the February 15th National Emergency Edition of our show. Now, JT, what you aren't being told is that millions of people have just chased me down the street here asking for another show, and I don't want to disappoint them, okay? Now, I know what you're going to say, Mr. Factinista over there, that this isn't real. If it was, wouldn't the media be saying something? And you'd be right. They're not reporting on it. They're not reporting on it because it doesn't fit into their tiny little box of reality. They don't want you to know that over two times the population of the United States is here in Lakewood, Colorado, madly pounding on your door, asking politely for another Friday night poetry radio show. Let me pull my microphone over to the door, okay? See, that's what we've been dealing with here, JT, and maybe you're not aware of this. There's pitchforks and there's torches out there. They're singing "This Little Light of Mine." It's real. It's an honest-to-goodness crisis of poetic proportions. So here we are. We got to make this thing happen. Glad everybody could join us here. Mr. JT, how are you, sir?
I have my microphone off.
I understand. Things are chaotic
they
here.
They are. Oh, my gosh. I'm good. Yeah, crazy little week, but I get a nice longer weekend. How are you?
Obviously, I'm coming apart at the seams here. We hired Joe Flacco here. I just got my voice back. I feel like an adolescent. I don't know what's going on. There's a mountain lion loose in my neighborhood. And a guy
really?
Around here just choked out a mountain lion last week.
Well, now Michael will be on the hunt.
Yeah, I feel more and more. I'm never going to do a political show, by the way.
Good.
Anybody listening here, I'm never going to go do a political show. Don't worry about this. I only will do it in satire purposes. But yes, my voice makes me sound like a different person. I had zero voice as of Tuesday morning, and it's been very slow coming back. If you listen to my daily podcast, you'll know I came back. I did a podcast back on Monday saying, "Hey, I'm back. I'm feeling better now. I'm back in it." And then the next day there was nothing. There has been nothing since. I am coming back the moment my voice actually fully returns. But I'm happy to be able to speak tonight and be able to be back on the air with you. All right, so essentially, it has been a long, long week. Most of the week has been long for me.
Yes.
Because I couldn't speak. And me sitting in a room, not being able to speak, equals a really long time for me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He was not sitting on his hands.
Yes, that is the Italian joke. That is actually very close to real. It is true in my particular case. Sitting on my hands makes it hard for me to speak. That is very true. However, We are here now. The microphones work. We're excited about having you guys come on here. So in the interest of just being fast, let me just tease a little bit what we're going to do. We're going to do some great poetry tonight. We're going to reveal our poet of the month. You know, I'm so happy the show's working. I'm not even mad. I'm not even mad right now. All right, let's get into the rules, though, before we get into the first call-in segment. Number one, no hate speech. Number two, please skew PG-13 if you can. We have younger people who listen. We want to make it a friendly place for them to come and enjoy poetry. However, if you're in an artistic flow, we're not going to censor you unless it just gets a little over the top. Then we might recommend that you read that piece on our After Dark segment, which is the first Friday of every month. Rule number three, please be prepared when we come on the line. So you know what order you're in. You can kind of see it. You can kind of gauge. Sometimes there's a little bit of a delay on the broadcast, but you want to make sure you have your stuff ready. When we come on the line, please mute your listening device so we're not getting this thing where it just keeps looping back through the show. I love hearing myself talk, but not that much. And then rule number four, please keep your work no longer than 3 to 5 minutes. It's really easy to eyeball that. We're not looking for the Charge of the Light Brigade. Unfortunately, I do love that piece, but you know, we want to be respectful of everyone's time. And then the last rule, rule number five, we love your comments and suggestions. However, this is more of a condition for myself. I'm a little ADD AF, so that means I will not remember the comments or suggestions you made, even though I want to. So the best thing I can ask you to do is send it to us, worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com, or just go to the contact form on worldpoetryopenmic.net, send it to us there. That way we have it, and we will discuss it at our next meeting. It's because we actually care so much. Okay, so we're going to get ready. We need first 5 unique callers. You will be answered and brought down in the order in which you received. The number is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
And the Skype ID is World Poetry Open Mic.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
All right, and like all my life's decisions in reverse, pants are back on. Here we go.
Yep.
All right. So we are here. Oh, so here at the first segment of the show. But we're also here at a moment, a crucial, crucial moment, JT.
Yes.
Where we must, unfortunately, unveil the identity of the poet of the month. I feel like when my voice is like this, I sound. I actually sound a little more like Catherine Hepburn.
I was going to say you're starting to go.
I was going Catherine Hepburn. Okay, I can't do it though. I'm not very good at it. Okay, so let me quickly run down the first 6 clues. Because basically, for all those listening who aren't really sure, what we do is every month, the first few weeks, we give 3 clues as to the identity of the poet of the month. If someone guesses it, they send us a private message. If they get it early, then they get to select the songs that I sing for Studio X for the following month. We already have had 2 people get this, but I'm going to read the 6 clues first before I tell you who it is. Clue from the first week. Clue number 1, science as fiction. Clue number 2, a theater of lyrics. That's not part of the clue. Number 3. A long time in a balloon. Also a t-shirt I feel like I could make. Or either that or a great epitaph. A long time in a balloon. Floating orb in space. Okay, anyway. All right, second week. The next 3 clues. Walked the streets of Paris during JT's least favorite period in history. 2, attempted avunculicide leads to limping. Attempted avunculicide leads to limping. Limping, see, there we go again. Can't talk anymore, JT. And clue number 3, a broker inspired by Morel. Of course, when we're talking about these clues, we are referring to none other
but the poet himself and author and futurist, Mr. Jules Verne.
That is our poet of the month. He was born in the seaport of Nantes. He was trained to follow in his father's footsteps as a lawyer, but he quit the profession early in life to write for magazines and the stage. His collaboration with the publisher Pierre Jules Hetzel led to the creation of The Voyages Extraordinaire, a wildly popular series of scrupulously researched adventure novels, including Journey to the Center of the Earth, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, and Around the World in 80 Days. He was a fantastic writer. A lot of people probably have read him. If you have not, please check him out. It's a mind-expanding experience. It's definitely worthwhile.
Yes, definitely.
Thank you, Ed McMahon.
Sorry.
Ed McMahon. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Good one.
You are correct, sir. Sorry.
Best. Don't apologize. We're okay. Everything's fine.
I'm sorry.
This ship isn't going off the edge.
That's right.
Everything will be just fine. Famous last words. Okay. Let's get right into the callers, okay? But first, before I do that, JT's going to tell you something fascinating while I take a drink of something so I don't cough again. Ready, JT? Tell us about the best sandwich you ever ate.
Well, I can't do that. However, I will tell you about a thing that I heard about this week. There is a piece of property for sale in Colorado. It is a ski resort. Well, okay, it's a ski slope for sale for just over $1 million. It is one run long and only 100-foot drop. So the elevation change is a little over 100 feet. Okay? But it's a ski run.
Okay.
For sale on a property for just over $1 million.
What are your thoughts on this?
I would love to buy it and make it into the world's best inner tube slope. Because it has a working lift. And all you got to do for that is just lower the bar and just kind of pull on the rope up and then have them, when they pay for their little tickets, that little wonderful disclaimer, will not be held responsible for any broken bones. Dismemberment. Oh, wait, sorry.
You would spend over $1 million for an inner tube slope.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I bet you would. And I bet you a lot of people would pay you back to come do it too.
See?
All right, there you go. That's actually, I like that. Thank you. See? Thank you for sharing that, man.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, now we're going to head to Michigan first. Let's go to a gentleman named George. Good evening, George. Hello? Hello, George.
Hello.
How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm just splendid. I've been driving Miss Daisy lately. My spouse is having a bunch of medical issues, and I drive her from place to place, and hospital to hospital, and overcharged specialist to overcharged specialist.
Yep.
And doing that most of the time, but it's all good.
Is she making progress in, as far as you know?
I think so. I don't know more in about a week.
Okay.
But it's more tested at University of Michigan, which is just down the road from me. So.
Well, I'm.
We'll see.
Well, we'll be definitely thinking about you, and I'm no even though it wasn't for a spouse of mine, obviously I'm no. Stranger to the driving to endless appointments and things like that for medical issues myself, or driving others.
Well, they have a parking space with my name on it now over at U of M hospital. So, and I gave me frequent flyer miles. So anyway, that's what happens when you get older. I think we're optimistic.
Good. I hope everything it goes well. Just let us know if you need anything. Okay.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. So what do you have for us?
I have one a little bit sober in form. It's called When You Didn't Need Me. At first, it was like sun through clean curtains, like peering out of a rainy window to see your car, like big toothy grins, little gifts on the dresser. and the rapids of her unabridged passion. I called you my funny Valentine. We wrote lavish things on the cards. We compared our love to Daisy and Gatsby, sang songs together. My plebeian life began to require you, and yours required me. It was a can't-miss time, a can't-sleep love. How luminous our days, how great you were. The rains didn't touch your eyes, the cold didn't hurt. I kissed your tears, you hugged my worries. Your skin was my dawn, your laugh my ambition. And one day I saw the luster leave your passion. The diverted eyes, the glances at the clock, the lateness getting home, more nights out with your friends, the disheveled clothing, taking your calls in the bathroom. Losing my gravity, I attempted heroic attempts at being essential. I dreamed up quixotic ways to make you need me. Refusing to be vain or possessive, I fabricated attractiveness in me that wasn't there. Why you had to go, I didn't know, you didn't say. There were days then when I could not look out the windows. The curtains turned shaggy and yellowed. When a mirror was the enemy, the bedsheets cold and stiff. The dark skies of my life grew closer. My horizons faded. I spilled mustard on the Valentine's card, then threw it out. Yesterday, the girl in 4B knocked on my door and handed the card to me. Said she found it and thought there might be a good story behind it. Under her arm was a bottle of Cabernet. I asked her in. End of poem.
Oh, George, you first caught me in that piece with the "how luminous our days" line. And then it went further and farther, and I won't go into too many details here, but farther and farther into incredibly familiar, although in the past, territory. And
right.
Man, that you hit the nail on the head with that one, I think, George, actually.
Right. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
That actually did. That did connect with me.
Well, I'm glad it did. And it was fun to write, so.
I appreciate that, and thanks for sharing it with us, and thanks for everything you do. I mean, I know, when you're out going through the real life concerns, you know, just remember, you know, we're all here, and we all appreciate you, and we're thinking about you.
Well, I appreciate it very much, and I know you do. This place on Friday night is sort of like a home where I can relax and talk, and I love being here.
We're happy you're here, man. We really are. And I'll I promise to get back on the daily podcast myself. I've had no voice since Tuesday morning, or actually Monday night. Right. So just getting it back.
Yeah. Well, we probably won't be here next week because there's a national emergency on the border.
Yeah, I know. I was running around in circles in panic until right before the show. JT told me I had to set it down and just do the damn show, and then I can panic afterwards.
Yeah, right. I sold a car, you know.
Yeah, okay.
Give away all the food, so we'll hope for the best.
I hear we're being rationed out paper bags so we can, do breathing exercises.
Oh, we are so irreverent.
Who cares, right? Who cares now? All right. Anyway.
All right, take care.
Thank you, George. Thank you. Bye. And that was George calling from Michigan, kicking off the first segment. Tonight just feels completely off the rails at this point.
But
you know what? I mean, we've got the framework. We know the structure works.
Oh, yeah.
We know these people who are calling are wonderful people, and I'm just excited to just connect with them and see what they got tonight.
Absolutely.
So let's go to Jim now in Pennsylvania.
Completely off the rails at this point. Already.
And you know what? I mean, we've got the framework. Hello, Jim.
Whoa.
Wow. Actually, I can just turn down my headphones. All right. Here we go. Jim, how are you? How was this week?
It was quiet.
A good quiet?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I'm just going to let this be awkward here, Jim. I'm just going to let this sit there and be awkward. No, okay. All right. Let's do this. Actually, instead of doing that, I'm going to step back, let you read, and then we'll talk after, okay?
Okay. The poem I'm going to read tonight is Lady Lazarus by Sylvia Plath, because this past Monday, the 11th, was the 56th anniversary of her death. So I think just to remember that. Lady Lazarus, I have done it again. 1 year in every 10, I manage it. A sort of walking miracle. My skin bright as a Nazi lampshade. My right foot a paperweight. My face a featureless fine Jew linen. Peel off the napkin, oh my enemy. Do I terrify? The nose, the eye pits, the full set of teeth. The sour breath will vanish in a day. Soon, soon the flesh, the grave cave eight will be at home on me. And I, a smiling woman, I'm only 30, and like a cat, I have 9 times to die. This is number 3. What a trash to annihilate each decade. What a million filaments the peanut-crunching crowd shoves in to see them unwrap me hand and foot, the big strip tease. Gentlemen, ladies, these are my hands, my knees. I may be skin and bone. Nevertheless, I am the same identical woman. The first time it happened, I was 10. It was an accident. The second time, I meant to last it out, not come back at all. I rock shut as a seashell. They had to call and call and pick the worms off me like sticky pearls. Dying is an art like everything else. I do it exceptionally well. I do it so it feels like hell. I do it so it feels real. I guess you could say I've a call. It's easy enough to do it in a cell. It's easy enough to do it and stay put. It's the theatrical comeback in broad day, the same place, the same face, the same brute amused shout, a miracle that knocks me out. There was a charge for the eyeing of my scars. There was a charge for the hearing of my heart. It really goes. And there was a charge, a very large charge, for a word or a touch or a bit of blood or a piece of my hair or my clothes. So, Herr Doctor, so, Herr Enemy, I am your opus. I am your valuable, the pure gold baby that melts to a shriek. I turn and burn. Do not think I underestimate your great concern. Ash, ash, you poke and stir. Flesh, bone, there is nothing there. A cake of soap, a wedding ring, a gold filling. Herr God, Herr Lucifer. Beware, beware. Out of that ash, I rise with my red hair, and I eat men like air. End of poem.
Ooh.
Well done, Jim.
Yeah.
Well done.
Great read, man. Great read.
That is the first time I've ever read it aloud.
No kidding. Fantastic, man. Fantastic. That's a good kickoff, man. George and then you, it's two totally different things, but a good energy, good shot of both.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Now, are you going to be reading during the return engagement, Jim?
Yes, I'm actually going to be reading one of my own pieces about her.
Oh, wonderful.
Beautiful, beautiful. Okay. So what we're going to do is we'll move on, mostly because I'm just trying to kind of make up for some of the time we lost with all the tech issues. So we'll move kind of quickly so we can get there faster. So just keep it tuned in, and then we'll be moving at a clip.
No problem.
All right, I appreciate it, sir, and appreciate you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
And that was Jim calling from Pennsylvania, reading some Sylvia Plath.
Mm-hmm.
Sylvia, don't. With Sylvia Plath. Okay. Now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go now to Mary in Arizona. And Mary in Arizona, I have something I got to ask you.
Yes, sirs.
All right.
Yes, sirs and ma'ams and yes to all of you.
So I talked to an Arizona native today who told me that you cannot, in fact, cook an egg on a sidewalk. In Arizona. Now, I don't want to believe this person.
Well, I am here to tell you, I might not be a native, but if you do it in the right part of town, you can do it. You can try to cook that egg, but some homeless person is going to come start sapping it up off the ground.
Well, that's probably a better use of an egg anyway.
You gave them something to eat.
Well, yeah, I was going to say that's a better use. Even if it does cook, then screw it. Give it. I mean, that's better than, you know, I'm not going to go out and eat a sidewalk egg. I think I'd rather make them and take them down and just give them out. Make some frittatas or something.
No, thank you for the laugh. We tried to do that in Wisconsin, and the one day it was over 100.
Really?
Oh, come on, though.
I think, you know, I'm gonna try to cook all kinds of things next time it gets hot here in Denver.
Yeah, we had a lot of dreams back in Wisconsin.
Michael, why do you have bacon on the driveway? I'm trying to cook it. It's in the shade. Okay. Anyway, Mary, how are you this week?
I'm waiting for spring.
I am as well.
I'll move right along with this lovely, such a lovely night and all the suspense waiting to come on.
Unintentional suspense. Yeah.
And then we're all back with a blowtorch. So here we go.
Woohoo! Okay.
Oh, Steve James, I saw you in the back of my mind. I'm going to do a heavy. I wrote a little heavy and I decided to share it, put it on a wall. And here we go. My broken Valentine, circa 1994. When I laid on our love bed, when the one I made love to you and felt you love me the way you knew how to love anyone, when I laid there and smelled her perfume, whoever her was she, and she was in your life without my knowledge nor approval, and yet you brought her here to our love bed, where in the same bed now slept our small daughter with her room right next door to ours. You would take our daughter places with this she you brought into our lives and family now to show your power in your life to do exactly what it was you wished to do within the realms of your religion and your mother's boundaries, the only real ones you chose to listen to. As in all the she's I came to know of yours, I saw how you cared to show them that they were special and sexy and important to you in your life, just like a version of me, only better, because it was real again. What a way to live. Letting our little daughter see the ways of her daddy and wonder what mommy would think about it all back there at home and devoted to the family. The family I grew with you, even though you were a philanderer, and I came to accept that along the way. The kicker was you justified it, possibly even in your own mind, because your religion gave you the option of four lovers at a time, and you grabbed that on to a tenement as hard as you could grip, because it saved you from your own sanity. I wonder about it all yet, what our little daughters thought about their little sister that appeared from Egypt that they've yet to meet, but who you would show them pictures and how they would see her face and movements on satellites. You'd hook them up out of my presence. Only one of my grown daughters can speak freely to me about these things. Such love upon my children. All those satellites you forced upon us with your backward ways, knowing our devotion for you, rights of women and advancements in the knowledge of the arts and sciences and earth were simply not a part of your consciousness. Memories of the screams that would come to us in our faces, from your angry eyes yelling in the name of your God some rule that we had broken. What a God you thought you had become. I wonder how many daughters remember those memories. Wondering when it all may end, when this curse may upon us, this ignorant ways will be lifted from our lives and we could be free and autonomous as we all should be, as we all should be. At least that time came, and I left you and I took them with me. At least you did not kill us nor take them from me. For that I say a humble thank you. I'm going to end it there. It goes longer, but that's my end of the poem now.
And Mary, deep heart, the sacred heart of Mary from Arizona.
Yeah.
I love it. Thank you.
We can all work. Some of us have a lot of work to be sacred.
Oh, yeah. But that's when you know you earned it, right?
I think so. When I guess the more hills we climb, I don't want to say the further we can see down to the little ants, but I will say that we see in the realm of things better.
I think so. I had
very briefly, there was a Valentine's Day dance at my school yesterday. And a bunch of the 7th grade and 8th grade boys were there. And this morning, they all came to me, and they were just devastated this morning, saying that they had gone up and asked certain girls to dance with them, and the girls rejected them yesterday.
Oh, see, all these times you have to go through with these children.
Oh, well, I remember these times, right? I mean, I got rejected last week.
I honor you for the work you do. I still remember a handful of people that helped me through those times. Well, they were teachers.
Well, and I think, hopefully you can be, but one of the things I ended up telling them was I asked them to say, okay, well, so you guys got rejected. And they said, yeah. And I said, great. I'm so glad that this happened to you. The reason is that life gets exponentially better when you can go for something you would like, and then you hear no, and instead of it being able to cripple you, is that you're able to suddenly go, oh, okay, well, no problem, thank you, and just move on and not let it pull you down. But you'd never get there until you've had it hit a few times. And yes, it's hard, but this is part of you getting strong enough to be able to not have this happen anymore. And good for you for having experiences. Mm-hmm. But I think that kind of goes to what you were saying as well, is that, you know, sometimes you... I mean, I don't want to necessarily go with the phrase of the, quote, sinning your way to salvation. That's a whole other hedonistic rock and roll idea. But I do want to go with the idea of you have some arguments that eventually get you to clarity, which therefore gets you to the innocence that you thought you'd have before. And I think it's valuable.
Yes, beautiful. Nicely put. I'll end it with that. I can't even put another word to that.
Thank you, Mary. We love you, and hopefully
we'll
hear you during the return engagement, I hope.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. All right. Thank you so much. And that was Mary calling from Arizona. You know what? Next time it gets really hot down there, I'm going down there this summer. I'm just going to drive through town throwing eggs at the street and seeing what happens.
Just throw them real angrily, right?
Did someone just drive through and egg our entire city?
Yes, he did.
He also yelled sorry every time he did it, though, so, you know, he must mean it. All right, let's go now to Connecticut to visit with Barbara.
He yelled sorry every time he did it, though. So.
Hello, Barbara.
All right, let's go.
Hello.
How are you?
Well, I'm much, much better, Michael, but you sound like what you have is what I had last week.
But I got to tell you, how I sound is the worst part of how I feel. I feel fine. It's just my voice. Yeah.
Yeah. It's that whole, oh my God, I have something that's not going away.
Right.
It's staying here. It's not going.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It took me 2 weeks to sound like this, and I really don't think I sound exactly normal yet, but...
You're getting better.
I'm getting better,
close to the Barbara we all know.
Yeah, I'm back to working. I met two new kids today, so...
Oh, very good, very good.
So anyway, I'm going to read something that was Tuesday's choice on ponderings and pipe dreams and poetry.
All right.
Which really floored me because I don't know if this ever happened to you, but Facebook found something from 3 years ago. And I looked at it and I started reading it and I thought maybe it was someone else's poem because I didn't remember writing it. And then I get to the end of it, it's my name. So... I said, oh my God, this is mine. So I reposted it, which I don't do too many times with a memory. And I got a lot of nice comments. And then I find that this poem, the day after, was Tuesday's choice. And it kind of made me excited because the day before, like the other day when they chose something, the poet that they chose was Raina Maria Rilke.
Oh, Rilke, yes.
Rilke,
yes.
Yeah. So I was like, wow.
Yeah, Rilke's my guy, yeah.
I know, and I was like, oh my God, I'm in this kind of presence. So anyway, my poem is called The Night Whispers. When night inevitably slips its wispy presence into my life, whispers with the satin stillness of the silent dark skies creep into my body and steer my thoughts to the idea of sleep, stroking it with the promise of sweet surrender. My still vibrant soul becomes a vessel for the unspoken fantasies let loose as I lay emptying my mind, tasseled blonde curly hair on the pillow in disarray, uncaring of the look, for fashion counts zero. Here you are the arbiter of that. And comfort wins all the time, while your brain sorts through the myriad events and creates its own Broadway play complete with costumes and sets in which you stroll or run or even glide through on feet or sometimes travel in space without walking from place to place and in a straight line or more often a crooked or jagged pathway as dreams toss you around like a ship in gale winds. And you are helpless to respond as the play unfolds or abruptly ends, the story slowly disintegrating as the light of day encroaches and you open your eyes, the last scene lost forever. End poem.
Such good stuff tonight, Barbara.
Thank you.
That's good
Thank
stuff. And, I'm just really enjoying this whole show. Like, everything's new, and it feels really good. And I think that poem was no exception.
Thank you. That was 3 years old. I might have read it on here, but I'm not sure. And I just want to say that, what was I going to say? Oh, there was something I wanted to say about, the rejection. The rejection.
Yeah.
I have one that I may not read tonight because I have a limerick to read tonight, but about my rejection when I was in a sophomore in high school.
Oh, yeah.
Sad, very sad experience of asking a guy to the Sadie Hawkins dance and him just like, oh, so blowing me off.
Yeah, yeah.
So I understand that. I feel for all the guys that I did that to. So.
Well, now it doesn't matter, Barbara.
Anyway, I'm glad that you're just, are you taking cold medicine?
No, Michael? Actually, what I'd really focused on was just trying to get to fix the actual issues. So like trying to get the stuff out, just trying to, I wasn't drinking coffee
right
until today.
Yeah.
I was trying to just that get inflammation it, right down. I was on vocal rest for some 30 hours, something like that, which is.
You didn't go to school?
Didn't go to school on one day. I didn't go to school at all. I didn't talk. And then the next day I went and I very conveniently, cause I had drama classes all day. So I just taught mime. Worked. Mime is money.
That's great. But anyway, I know that feeling, but I took cold medicine, and it helped to get everything out.
Good, good.
And I was so glad when I could stop because, it's not fun to take that stuff. But, it's a virus, and you got to get through it. Unfortunately, there's no way to get through this with antibiotics. It's terrible, but...
It's very true.
It's the winter of that, but thank you. I'll get off and let the other person come on and talk to you on the return engagement.
Sounds wonderful. Thank you so much.
Okay.
All right.
You take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye. And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut, number four here in our first segment. All right. Now, JT, are you ready? Should we travel all the way to a place called Alabama? Stan, you're going to have to call us right back. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
We normally don't have this issue. It's just technical issues all night here, guys.
Man.
Stan, I really apologize. Can you please give us a call back? We're having the thing that we normally have when we have way more callers than five. So, I'm
Thank
not
you.
Sure what's going on. JT.
You know?
Windows, man. Windows.
Hello.
Hey, Stan, how's it going?
Better now.
All right. Well, hey, I appreciate it. Thanks for being a good sport. I'm really having an issue with Windows computers at the moment.
Don't you just love technology?
I do. I got to say, like, I can sit here and feel bad about technology, and then I go outside and it's a snowstorm, and I go turn on my car, and I have a heated seat, and I have fog lights and no slip tires and all kinds of stuff, and I'm getting home. Man, technology sure sucks. I just went 6 miles in 10 minutes in complete warmth.
This is true. It's a lot better than having to run out in the cold, break the ice off the door, crank it up, and let it run a half hour until the rest of the ice melts.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. You know, I was telling JT before the show starts, I'm sure cranky about the police until I need them, and then I'm all about them. So maybe I should do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. How are you this week?
I'm doing fine this week. I am. Things are moving along quite smoothly for a change.
Wonderful. I'm happy to hear that. Really am. So how about this? I'll just give you the stage. You can share what you'd like, and then we'll just chat for a moment after.
All right. Well, since the poet of the month is Mr. Jules Verne, and I was reading up, and I found out there's a lot of scholars that got upset at how some of these publishing houses were in such a hurry to get his work out.
Oh, yeah, they didn't actually do it justice. They just kind of threw things together.
Yeah, they did not translate them well. Even had some omissions of some of his work from the content.
Yeah.
And this was almost, I think this wasn't so much his poetry, but on his, like you said, his series of novels where they found this out. And they didn't like that. Several scholars were very, very adamant about their displeasure in that.
I can understand.
So I decided to play it. So I know he has poetry in some of his other work.
Sure.
But I went ahead and found a poem to be safe.
All right.
And this is called The Genius. Like a pure stalactite, the work of nature, the misunderstood genius appears to us. He is there in the place where the heavens have placed him. And from them alone, he receives his life and his structure. Never will man's hand be bold enough to create it, for its essence is pure. And Almighty God did it in his face. The poor and ugly mortal, could he do better? He does not cut himself, this diamond bizarre, and some colors those whose azure chamar that it remains as it is, that did the eternal. If we want to correct the brilliant stalactite, it is no longer a pebble without merit, who does not think anymore the stars of the sky. In peace.
Well, first of all, awesome read, as always. Stan reading Jules Verne. That's a good one. Good choice, man. Good choice, and it's always a pleasure. Yeah,
he was amazing, and so much of what he wrote did actually become prophetic.
It really did. Really did. You're right.
An amazing forward-thinking individual.
You know, it's funny though. I think he would be just as freaked out to find out that it was real.
Yeah. I know. He goes, I took a premise of some ideas some people had and expanded on them further. I had no idea you people would take me seriously.
Right. I know. Isn't that funny? Wow. He comes back. He's like, oh, no, come on. Really? Yeah. I think I would be upset if I came back and all the dystopian or, things I thought happened, actually did happen. Come on, guys.
Oh. Hey, Einstein, one of the great gags that Robin Williams, rest his soul, used to do was being Albert Einstein.
That's right.
He goes, what are you? And he did this bit about, what are you, Meshuggah? I give you E equals MC squared, and you come up with this?
The atomic bomb? What, are you crazy?
I love it. I remember there was a joke I heard one time. It was I can't remember who said it. It might have been like Joe Rogan or something. He's stand up stuff though. And he said, yes. You know, if we brought Thomas Jefferson or the founding fathers back, showing them the mess we're in, first thing they'd do is they'd look at us and they'd look at how crazy everything that got, and they'd look at our Constitution and they'd go, "You guys didn't write any more new stuff? You guys are nuts." Yeah. Anyway.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, anyway. All right. Hey, Stan, thank you so much, sir. And we'll talk to you during the return engagement, I hope.
Absolutely. And on to the next.
Hey, thank you. And that was Stan calling from Alabama, rounding out our first segment here of the evening. Now, we are still running a little bit behind our normal time. I'm just trying to be conscious of people on, especially on the East Coast, where it's getting later and later. It's after 11 there now. So we're going to go right into our second segment. We need five more unique callers, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
Hey, Christine.
Yes, Michael.
Have you ever seen Sweeney Todd?
No, most people who go see him never come back.
I know. I guess I'm just hungry.
And from the classy minds that came up with that, we're back here in the second segment of World Poetry Open Mic, the February 15th, 2019 edition. JT.
Yes, sir.
I have something to tell you about this segment.
Yeah?
I believe that this segment is bigger than any other segment has ever been before.
You think so?
People are telling me that they're stunned, frankly.
They must be.
They're completely blown away by just how big this segment really, really is.
Yeah.
So I think we should just do it. I mean, I'm just telling the way it is. This is the biggest thing we've ever done on this show.
Let's go
to this segment. Our only caller for this segment. Let's go to Dennis in Michigan.
If I can hit the right button, I would.
That would be helpful.
Gladly do it. There we go. There he is.
Good evening, Dennis.
Good evening. Oh, yes. It's Friday night.
It is Friday night. Thank you for being patient as we dealt with our technical difficulties earlier.
Not a problem. I'd rather be by my end of the process than your end. And so we really do appreciate what you do for us. We really do.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. That does matter quite a bit. Does matter.
Yeah.
So how are
but
you?
I should have called the first segment.
Oh.
Because Stanley scooped me on the first Jules Verne poem.
Oh no! Did he take you? He took yours.
No, he didn't. But he read one before I did.
All right.
But it's all good. It's all good. We share.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
And I was so close. I thought it was H.G. Wells.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, that would have been a really good guess too.
He wrote a few poems too.
That's right. Just a few. Yeah. No, he did. He did.
Yes, he did.
Wow. All right. So, I'll give you the stage. We'll talk after the read, okay?
All right. That's what we'll do. Sounds good to me. All right. I have Jules Verne's poem. The title is "Our Mother." Our mother, a sophisticated lady, always destined for the top. You'd never see her walk by a top designer shop. So impeccably presented, amazing handbag, clothes and shoe, even perfume richly scented. Numbered bottle gives the clue. Never more elegant a lady than the stylish Mrs. Manel. Surely can't be just a coincidence that her name rhymes with Chanel. For pleasure, Mum rode her horses, like playing hard and drinking gin, slipping friends in a glass of champers, and her heart, you'll surely win. Of her job, she could wax lyrical, and of work being her miracle, a workaholic, one might say.
toiled every cent of hard-earned pay. Mom frequented the finest restaurants. If dined with Margaret, you would discern whether lunching at the Ivy or in Paris, of course, Jules Verne. Mom once painted chairs and pottery and boiled up fudge to taste. She made luscious chocolate mousse those days, and yoga trimmed her waist. Mom sketched and drew with creative flair, gave her loving cats amazing care. She sung out loud, never just a hum, then taught me to be a mum. We all knew different parts of Mom, but between us all we know her strength could be a barrier. Darling, don't let feelings show. No matter what we all admire in her, with love and pride we glow. At the sea of people facing her, must not let teardrops flow. A formidable woman, Margaret, or as Peggy to many friends. Just Mom to my sister and I, and where this poem almost ends. She was Grandma Peg to four granddaughters, and now a great grandson. Who knew she'd stayed and fought to become a great grandmum? So, to the bar. Let's go raise our glasses for this tough old bird. Please, Jen. She'd hate to see any sad faces. No tears while drinking gin. End of poem.
Wow. So that was such an odd piece. It really is. I mean, it's just got these strange little, you know, twists and turns in it there. You delivered it in very, very fine form. And that actually is a deceptively hard one to read that well. So great, great job,
well,
first of all.
Thank you. Thank you. And it is an interesting look at his mother. And
yes, it is.
I've read through some poems of his, and several of his poems, his name comes up in the poem.
We call this productive and strategic narcissism, Dennis.
it works. It works.
Apparently so.
So it was a fine pick for Poet of the Month. He's got some really interesting stuff.
He really does.
I just thought he was a science fiction writer. Yeah. He's a poet, too.
I know. It surprised
me.
I'm glad
I got introduced to that fact.
Hey, wonderful. And thanks for being enthusiastic and taking the challenge on as it comes month after month. We appreciate it.
Well, of course. It's just an added benefit of listening to this show. You guys are all right. I don't care what George Wiley says about you.
Good, thanks. We appreciate
George.
That, Dennis.
All right. Dennis,
he says a lot of glowing things about you, so I better correct that. He's a great fan and a great fellow poet. So I just leave it be at that. And I'm going to step aside, let the next poet step up to the mic, and I'm going to say, God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis.
God bless, Dennis. Thank you. And that was our first and last caller of the second segment here. So I think it's safe to say, JT, that it is time to trip over the cord and, quote, trigger the return engagement.
Engagement.
Engagement. It's times like these when I cannot even dream of hitting a note like that, but I hear it and I'm like, man.
That would hurt so much.
Well, no, I just couldn't do it.
Right, I know.
But the thing that's funny is I was sitting there with no voice on Tuesday, and I was doing some work because I'm starting to teach voice lessons and stuff
right,
again.
Right,
so I'm starting to build up
a website for voice lessons when I can't speak. And it just felt really incongruous. All right. Let's now go back to the return engagement. Anybody who wants to call in and share, you can now. Anybody who wants to call and read something for the first time, you can as well. 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic. Let's do this.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
All right, and we're back here for the return engagement. This looks like a nice, full, just ready-to-go segment here. JT, are you ready?
I am, sir. No, I'm not, sir. Thank you, sir. I appreciate the...
This is getting a lot more complicated than I thought it was going to get. All right.
Now I am ready, sir.
Gracias. Gracias.
I say sir all day long. I do too. I can't help it.
You know, it's funny. I did that when I was working in martial arts schools years ago. Mm. You just refer to everyone as sir.
Yeah.
And I still do it. And you know what? I'm not going to change it because I don't think it's something that I need to work on.
Yeah.
And if they have a problem with it, if you have a problem being dealt with respect, then you're just going to have a problem with it. That sounds like your issue, not mine.
Right.
All right. Let's now go to Michigan, the land of poets, apparently. Let's go to Dennis, who's leading us off. Welcome back, sir.
Yes, I'm back.
Dominating all the right. Airwaves.
I am glad to be back.
All right. It's like you weren't ever gone. You know, it's like you just kind of...
It seems like it's just a moment ago.
It's just moments. All right.
All right.
So, what do you have for us this time?
Well, I'm going to continue with Jules Verne from Mother to Mars. This is the poem about Mars, and it reads like this. For many an historical generation, you scintillated man's imagination, the subject of numerous films and books. Your presence was worth some astronomer's looks. From writers such as H.G. Wells and Jules Verne, the fire of man's curiosity would burn. With mankind's ingenuity labor, could we travel to this planetary neighbor? If we arrived there, what would we find? Are there living creatures similar to Earth's kind? With man's advancing technology, space probes to the planet became reality. However, what we did discover was not as expected. Hardly any form of life was detected. With cold, desert-like terrain and desiccated atmosphere, no life as we know could live there. No canals, as previously conjectured, would exist. As a planet with life, you are crossed off our list. A poem by Jules Verne. End of poem.
Man, I hadn't heard that one before, Dennis.
Yeah, I really just ran across it tonight.
Well, thank you for sharing it with us. And I heard something new now, and I got to hear a great read of it as well from you. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you. It was a lot of fun. And I enjoy discovering new poets. And he was a surprise. He definitely was. The way to go with the selection committee, you guys did good.
All right. Well, we're already on working for the next one. So we'll keep it going. Hopefully we keep doing a good job.
You I know you will. Thank you very much. All thanks right. for the platform, and thanks for being here for us. And once again, I'm going to step aside, let the next poet step up to the mic, and I'm going to say God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis.
God bless. And that was Dennis calling from Michigan, leading us off here in the return engagement. All right. So now. Melosh. Okay. Now we're going to George in Michigan. Smooth intro. Hey, George, it really how's it going?
It's pretty good. Are you sure you want two people from Michigan coming at the same time here? We could pollute the air a little bit.
I got to say, George, looking statistically, if we want to show with poets, I don't think we have a choice.
That's right. That's true.
It's just just clusters of poetic talent there in Michigan, apparently.
It's in the water or something, like they say. But and Flint water, it's in the Flint water.
Yeah, I was gonna say there's a lot of depth to that comment right there. You could just keep going and going and going.
Keep going and going. This poem is what was I gonna say about it? I already forgot. I apologize to Dennis up front because he heard these poems the other night. He has to put up with them again. But this one is called The Icy Shards of Winter. The crusted winds of boldness assaulting down the lands with penetrating crassness, red frosted cheeks and hands. The hurried clouds that parent, the blistered icy shards, the chilling unrepentance with arctic disregards. I knocked upon your portal, bid you to join my walk, but soon your hands were brittle, you could but barely talk. We hustled back accordingly, our fortitude we shed. 'Tis better to be timid warm than very bravely dead. A love that thaws a frozen heart still fails to quell this season. I've never seen a poem smart enough to kill this freezing. End of poem. That's a poem for JT. It's a winter poem for JT.
I think he appreciates it. Now, JT, I have to ask you: Is it supposed to snow this weekend?
No, you're okay.
I thought it was supposed to snow this weekend.
It was,
and then they changed it.
Yeah, it got hung up in the mountains a little bit.
Ah, see, that's what happens here, George. Things get caught up in the mountains. Sometimes it doesn't happen, and the mountains just keep getting it. So,
which is good.
Well, for me anyway, I think JT's a little upset about this. He looks upset. That's what made me think of it, George.
My Colorado family, they're all skiers, the family. My son and his, they just love it up there because they're members up at Loveland.
Oh, yeah.
So
this is going to be a huge weekend for them.
So, and they have the big tires on their bikes. That's, the fat tires on their bikes. So they all ride around those mountains yelling that I'm better than you are down there.
Look at my tires.
That's great.
They said, bring your bike, Grandpa. And they said, I'm not putting those fat tires on. I'm already fat enough. I don't. that's my thing.
Hey, we appreciate it so much. Thank you, sir.
All right. Talk to you later.
Thanks. And that, of course, was George calling from Michigan. Michigan guys were laying it down. JT picking it up and laying it back down. They're going to say, like, my dad used to wake me up and knock me out. he used to make me leave the dinner table and send me to bed with nothing but dessert.
Ooh.
Sounds like the kind of brutality that only takes place in Connecticut. Let's go to Barbara. Mm. Hello, Barbara.
Hi, I was just listening to you. What a mean person.
I know, is it?
Dessert.
I stole that line from someone else, to be fair. I didn't come up with that one, but...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That wasn't mine.
Sometimes I didn't even like the... sometimes the dessert wasn't that great.
Yeah, I got to tell you, one of the biggest things about going through chemotherapy is they tell you that your taste will change, and they did. But I was, 12 years old, and suddenly I stopped liking dessert at 12.
Terrible.
But now I had a real love for Mexican food, so it paid off well.
Wow.
Yeah.
You like more spicy food.
I don't even eat it spicy. I don't even get like the really Mexican spicy food. Stuff.
No, no, don't like spicy.
I like savory. Savory, really a lot of flavors, yeah.
Yes, yes. The spice, if I'm going to like use jalapenos, I take the smallest I can find. I cut them down and then I pull away every single seed there is. I just like throw them all out and then take a teeny drop to put in the salsa.
Like, interesting. You know, interesting. Yeah.
Just to put in the salsa. Just you cut it up real fine.
I got to tell you, Barbara, this sounds like Connecticut Mexican food.
We have great place here. Don't knock it.
No, I'm kidding. I'm sure you guys have great stuff there.
There's a great place in Greenwich that's really has great food. Well, anyway,
Connecticut is Spanish for amazing culinary wasteland. That's actually not the word I wanted to say. It just came out. Okay, I'm going to be quiet.
You're going to get some, you know,
hate mail. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've gotten a good amount here.
There's this series on TV called The American Housewife.
Mm-hmm.
And they were dissing Norwalk.
Okay.
So much that the people from Norwalk actually sent them hate mail.
I totally believe this. I totally believe
and the
this.
The mayor of Norwalk actually sent a real nasty letter to them and said, cease and desist.
That is hilarious. I one day I will see if I can find it. I got a hate letter once from this group called Focus on the Family out here because apparently I moved around on stage too much. And so for the longest time, I actually had it hung up in a frame over my toilet, and I put it away. I'll see if I can find it. If I can't, I'll read it to you on the air someday.
Oh, my goodness. Speaking of those kinds of things, I tried my hand at the limerick.
Ah, yes, a limerick.
So I have two. Is it okay if I read two?
If they're limericks, sure.
Okay. They have no title, but they're limericks, so. There was a young woman from Stamford who only bought what she could afford. Her pickings were meager, so she never was eager to pass up any bargains on the board. And the second. I think you're going to like the second one. A man once loved a good wave. For surfboards, he always had a rave. But one day on the sea, as he surfed along with glee, he fell and is now in the grave.
Oh, man.
Very, very good, Barbara. Both of them. JT was laughing off that
yeah,
last
just
one. He
busted
really liked
out.
I thought you'd like that one.
We did. Very, very well done. I like it when you do limericks.
You liked my limericks?
Yeah, I liked your limericks. I liked that you did those, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the first one I thought was kind of corny, but the second one was funny.
Corny works, too. It's not bad.
Yeah. I don't like having, you know, I don't like doing any kind of form. So with me, forms are like, you will obey.
I know. I get it.
You will obey. I thought about using Connecticut, but I couldn't really find anything but etiquette to go with it.
Connecticut's a bit of a challenge, isn't it? I'm going to work on it. Yeah. I'll work on it.
Yeah, well, no, the only thing I could find for Connecticut was etiquette.
Yeah, well, I mean, that makes sense. There might be some little trickery you can pull there, though. You could take some. There's some little tricks.
Not too exquisite, or something like that.
Or you could just pull a Shakespeare and make up a word that will forever alter the English language.
I could be like Shakespeare.
Yeah, or Kanye. You know, Shakespeare had some words he made up, and Kanye has, you know, poopity scoop. That's a word that he made up. Same idea.
In Shakespeare's vein, though.
No,
I mean Shakespeare made up some incredible work.
But hey,
I mean,
Shakespeare never married a Kardashian, so who's really
true?
Okay, all right,
anyway,
Barbara.
Michael.
All right,
take care of your cough.
I will
definitely. You know, if nothing else works, steam inhalations and that awful
neti pot or that other thing they're showing on TV with the
Well, you make this sound so good. Yeah, okay.
I don't know. But anyway, take care of yourself. And just, you know, did you go to the doctor at least?
Nope. But I'll be all
you
right.
You should.
Okay.
You should. Because you got to figure out if it's in your chest, because you don't want it in your chest at all.
True. True. I will go if it doesn't go away in the next day or so.
Yes, true. Okay. So take care, and I'll see you guys next
Friday
week, I guess.
Yeah, next Friday, yep. Yeah. We will be here.
Okay. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. And that was Barbara in Connecticut. I'm going to work on the rhyming scheme of that one.
That'll be interesting to
see. I mean, it won't be a word that directly, you know, etiquette, Connecticut
right.
is very solid.
Yeah, it's obvious.
There's a lot of other things there, though, too.
There
we're going to pull it apart. But my blah, 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 JT, I can't talk.
It's all right.
Apparently, I went out of practice.
Well, when you're silent for a day and a half.
Just to better understand the sound of a whisper.
Of course.
By the way, it turns out we have Chaucer to blame for Valentine's Day. Do you know that?
Oh, figures.
Yeah, they didn't celebrate anything like that until after the Canterbury Tales came out and became a big hit. Yep.
Great.
Someone who might have actually already known that, let's go to Jim in Pennsylvania. Hey, Jim.
Dilly Dilly!
Whoa.
Do you always start conversations this way?
With us.
Well, usually I try starting them with words because silence just doesn't really say anything.
I disagree. I think silence says a lot. Especially when you add some body language in there.
But if you're standing on your hands, it'd be bad if you're an Italian.
Very true. Very true.
Did I say standing on your hands, sitting on your hands?
Well, both. I mean, standing on your hands is probably worse. Sitting on your hands is probably pretty bad, too. All right. So what do you have for us this time?
Well, I'm going to go with the poll, Why We Remember Her, and it's about Sylvia Plath.
All right.
Why We Remember Her. Midwinter's icy chill stopped cold at the door of the Angel of Despair. In the hours before a midday London dawn, the silent drumbeat of her heart went unnoticed by ears turned blue. Poisoned air filled the self-sealed room. End of poem.
It was a great tribute to her.
I wasn't sure if I would do that one or Sylvia. But Danielle said I should do that one.
Good choice, Danielle. Good choice.
Yeah.
And by the way, I have the song still that you had requested for next month. I'm going to be working on it, especially when I can actually sing again. I'm working on that.
Yay.
Yay, all right.
Yay.
She said, yay, this is even surreal. I'm thinking Dilly Dilly.
It's good stuff.
Good stuff. All right, Jim. Hey, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
I do have one request for people in the chat room.
Okay.
If there's any independent bookstores near you, could you email me the name or Facebook message me? Because I'm trying to find some. Because the one in Harrisburg passed on carrying my book.
Oh.
In there, so I'm looking for other options.
All right, Jim, JT, and I will be on a plane in an hour. We're gonna go find this owner. We're gonna talk some sense into him. Here we go.
All right,
Jim. Yeah, absolutely. We'll definitely see what we can do to help. Okay, we
absolutely.
Really do. We really will.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank all you. Right.
Goodbye. And that was Jim calling from Pennsylvania. You know what I kind of feel like we should do? Call the bookstore locally there and be like,
"Hey, do you have this book?
You got this book, Silverbow Publishing, James Roadline? You got that? Do you have that in the store?" And they say, "No, we don't." What kind of a store are you? You don't have that. Let me tell you. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to tell you one way. You don't carry that book, you're nobody in that town. You're nobody. You might as well have shut things down. People know. They know you're not hip.
That was a weird transition of your accents. That
this is
awesome.
Showing how my brain is working right now.
Yeah.
So let's just go now to the person I do not want to call, sir, to Mama Oladeji.
That was a weird transition of your accent. This is showing how my brain is working.
Hello, Mama.
Hello.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening. How dare they pass and renege on James's book? I will have a few things to say.
That's what I think too.
Yeah.
Maybe we should send them. We should send them just packages of random food items and act like they're ominous. Like send them a hot dog in a UPS thing, and then which is a note that says now you're getting yours.
Independent bookstores should carry local artists.
Oh, 100%. Yes. Yes.
That makes sense. So, I have a little small limerick here that ones I grew up with, and one of them made me write a poem. So I'm going to do the lyrics of the limerick, and then I'm going to let you know the poem that came out of it, or the prose that came out of it. And basically, this is for all of those people still trying to eat their peanuts on the burning deck of America. And the limerick goes like this. The boy stood on the burning deck, eating his peanuts by the peck. The ship blew up. The boy fell in. But he kept cramming those peanuts in. In peace.
Your laughter at the end of that even killed it more. I think it was perfect.
Yeah. So this is called America, the Burning Deck. Can you continue to live normally in America? No, you can't. Living the dream, dreams are drowning. Do your work and ignore the status quo. No time to romance the politics. Got to stay in the now somehow. Can I continue to live like a king amid all the array? I will stay living my way through the killings, the riots, the wars, no bother. I got to keep my dream alive. My mind says, you can continue. My conscience says, no, you can't. During this turmoil, I can keep the eyes looking ahead. During this setback, I can move forward, ignore the blunders and the thunder, ignore the stupidity and the money grubbing, ignore the mistreatment, the thievery and the lies, the collusions, ignore the alliances made with those who want to own America and stand with those who want to make America slaves again, poor again, who want to refight the Civil War, who want to shoot us, lynch us, and make us poor. And take everything back we've worked for. Those who want to kick accomplishments in the past, in the us. Those who want to see our painted visions become failures in the future. So can I continue to live as I've always lived? Comfortably, safe, storing up stock in my children's future. My tunnel vision says, yes, I can. My third eye says, no, I can't. My God mind says you definitely cannot, or else you'd be no better than the guilty, no better than those who perpetrated the BS that you see but don't see, illusions feeding and keeping the fires of confusion burning. You cannot detour down the road that winds right back to where you've been and block off all the trails to where you were headed. Can you continue to live normally? In America, no, you can't. The boy stood on the burning deck, eating those peanuts by the peck. The ship blew up, the boy fell in, but he kept cramming those peanuts in.
I love it.
Great
poem.
Yeah, yeah, really, really great.
Thank you, sir.
All right, we got it. Mama, that was wonderful. Wonderful. It's such a pleasure to hear your work every week. We're just so happy to have you.
Because I have fun over here. I really do.
Good.
And that's the main thing. My life is so hectic. Like, I'm running back home, kind of get back to the program and getting in here late, and I still got to get in. So I was really happy about that. My son had a mild heart attack.
Oh, no.
He's a personal trainer. And he's always lifting weights and doing this stuff. And I don't know what happened. I don't even know what happened. But he has a shunt in his heart now. Something will keep it open. So I was my last living child, and I was just surprised because both of my children were health nuts. So I don't get it, you know.
Man.
So right now I'm just kind of anxious and crazy, but I just want to do something fun, and I thank you all for always welcoming me with open arms. Oh, I love you all.
Anytime. You are absolutely welcome. We love you too. Thank you, Mama, and best of luck. We'll be thinking about you and your son.
Yeah, Kelly Kale.
All right, we got it.
All right, dude. All right, bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
And that was Mama Oladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio.
It was a fun piece, though.
Really.
Really good.
Yeah, very much so. Very much. Mm. All right. So now we're going to head to Alabama, and we're going to speak with Stan. Hello, Stan.
Hey, wow.
I know.
Boo. You know, the funny thing is, I slapped together a little 5-7-5 piece before I even heard this. And it's just so spot on. If you don't mind, I'd like to throw that out there before I actually do the actual piece I was going to do.
Go ahead, man. Go ahead. Yeah.
This one will be back for Mama. I call it Titanic. Sinking ship of state. Where profit lines trump morals. And the band played on. End piece.
Boy. That was good.
Yeah. All right. And yeah, no kidding. No kidding, huh? Mm. Okay, now we're going to shut up, let you finish your other piece.
Well, all right. This piece, believe it or not, came off of a prompt by a very amazing poet. It was a quote of this poet's. And the quote was, "Driven by this means we are both elegant quill and parchment." And that's end quote. And the poem I wrote is called Soul Expression. Be it of solemn intent or an irony seen hilarious, be it born in inner solitude or outward and gregarious, the perceptions of great diversity in words come to fruition, sharing the spectral and infinite range of our all-human condition. The affirmation found in love, in its loss our devastation, perpetual journeys of our souls from damnation to redemption, from speck of dust to universe, in life's experiences, all will begin. Souls and hearts become our paper. Minds and imaginations become our pen. In peace.
Very, very well done, Stan. Very well done.
Thank you.
Yeah. As always.
And by the way, the amazing poet that offered that quote.
Yeah.
Titus Llewellyn.
Oh, no kidding. Well,
yes. There you go.
So Titus still made an appearance on the show. By the way, I saw a few people ask in the chat room. I wanted to address it on the air just because. So I've been in touch with Titus. His shift, as he had mentioned a couple of weeks ago, had kind of changed to the point where it's really, really hard for him to be getting up so early. So until the schedule kind of shifts, or he gets some time away or something like that, or until he just decides to be crazy one morning, you know, we might not hear from him directly. He did send me a file to play. I'm having a hard time transitioning it over to a way we can play it here. So I'm going to try to work with him and do that. But he will be sending some things in and potentially recording things to play for us. He's very much in spirit, just not not calling in. So anyway, Stan, sorry to jump on when you're on the call and say that, but I figured that's a great time for me to mention it.
Absolutely. Absolutely, because that is one of our favorite and amazing poetic influences.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. Mine, too. Mine, too.
Absolutely.
All right. Stan, thank you so much for everything you do for us, and we look forward to hearing from you next week.
And the same to you, NJT, and on to the next.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right. Now, from L to Z. A to Z, as they say. I got a little bit of everything in Arizona.
Yeah?
Including Mary.
Yeah, that's right.
Who's going to have to call us
back.
Yeah, because we're having that issue again. Mary, if you could call us back, I'd appreciate that. Tamara, that means very likely you will as well.
She's not even on the line, so she just calls back. We just take Tamara live because she has
and
to
I hope
call
she's
back.
Alive.
Well, I know she's alive. So, see, look at that. Mary's just on the ball with us.
All right. Hey, Mary, thanks so much for calling us back.
Oh, you're welcome. Holy moly. I'm not used to being put on the spot like this.
Just dropping it right away, huh?
Drop it like a rock. Okay, here we go. So good an evening to spend with you all. A little thing I scribbled. I'm going to call it When Dreams Remain. I go to places sometimes to ease my weary mind. I found these places most all my life. They keep me from my binds. I wish for things to happen yet. I wish symphonic temper in my veins. I wish for thriving pulses. Wishes to come true yet. I wish for splendor in the meadows. I wish for time to see yet clearly, at least clearer than I seem to see. And yet I know I've come so far in all this blind but sometimes learned menagerie. Mangers here to lay upon, dreams yet to occur. In real time I make them happen still. And yet the beating of my heart still largely feels at large. Keep the sounds I like the best. I try to disregard the rest. End poem.
Wow. Another beautiful piece. You know, before long, you're going to have to start calling yourself a writer. You keep all this writing.
Thank you. I will not. I will not. She hollers.
Hey, you know what?
To the guillotine.
Mary, I understand. I understand. You know,
I know a good writer. I know a beautiful writer, and I will say there are great writers. I won't call myself that.
You know, I didn't call myself a musician for a very long time. Until I was actually making a living and touring around, I wouldn't call myself a musician, and then I realized it's kind of dumb that I have a problem with this. I think from our perspective, and not that what other people think of you is the thing that matters, but from our perspective, I think we do consider you a writer. But you don't have to call yourself that. That's okay. We'll do it for you.
Well, geez, you're going to just give me dreams now. Good night, you guys. I'll listen. Yeah. What a nice evening.
It's been a beautiful evening. Yeah, yeah. And thank you, Mary. We'll talk to you next time, okay?
Yep.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. That was Mary calling from Arizona, the land of A to Z.
All right, Tamara.
Tamara, give us call. Call us now.
Careful. We might have... Never mind.
Please, call us. Send us emails. Okay. Hello, Tamara. How are you? Hello?
Hi.
Hi, Tamara.
I can't hear the first few seconds like right before, like the last few seconds. So I never know if you're talking to me.
Oh, fair enough. No, that's actually very fair. I've got to remember that because I always say the funniest stuff and no one ever hears it. That's why I
believe you.
That's why I say that, Tamara. Okay, well, I always tell people it's funny, but y'all just should have been there. I mean, it was really, really great. You know, I was the only one there, but it was the best.
You know, I work in an audiology office, so unfortunately, most people miss my funniest stuff because they can't hear me.
Well, yeah, you hang out with deaf people. I spent a lot of time in audiology clinics when I was a kid. Trust me, I know.
Uh-huh. That's surely why they didn't laugh, right?
It's got to be.
Because they didn't hear me.
Gotta be. So how are you?
I have everybody else. Oh, I'm good. I went to this hockey game. It was awesome. It was the best fight I ever saw.
All right.
Everybody on it. The guy got a broken nose. There was blood pile up. It was fantastic.
It is the great American pastime.
I love hockey games in person. I went to school in Fairbanks for a while when I was, you know, young. And yeah, I learned to like hockey a lot.
Very cool. Very cool.
So everybody else had a limerick. I don't have a limerick, but I have my, at the end of the second period, the score was 1-7. So I have that.
All right. Perfect.
It's only the second period and you're already out of luck. We love the fight, but not the score. Come on, shoot the puck.
That was good. I like that.
Thank you. Thank you. And then I have a real poem.
Okay.
Good.
Thank you. All right. It's called Art and Artist. She was all spots and dapples, framed with gold and wood, a work of art, as if she had been birthed by the wanton mind and generous hand of some French impressionist. Stand back and admire her glory. From this distance, she comes to life, inviting you to join her idyllic moment. The world falls away, drawn one step closer, almost within reach. But our patron discovers his mind manufactured the detail, filling in her beauty with his own desire. He retreats again. Ah, sighs with contentment. Perfection once more. Could anyone create a better piece than the one composed by his own imagination? The object of his affection dutifully holds her pose. Tears fill her eyes until her view of him blurs too. And it softens his edges. End poem.
Now that is a very beautiful piece. Well done. Well done.
Thanks. All right.
Yeah, I loved it.
So, I always hang up at this point very quickly and make a rushed exit.
Yeah, why is that? I wondered. Is it my hair?
How did you know? Did Dennis tell you?
No, I don't think anyone's actually ever told me this, but I always see them kind of glance up pointedly right before they rush out of my life.
Oh, maybe there's an angel overhead.
That's
a nice thought.
That would be...
That's what they said when my grandma died, that she saw an angel. She looked up, saw an angel, and went. So maybe that's it.
You know what? Honestly, that sounds to me like the most logical conclusion. There must be an angel over my head.
I am nothing if not logical. but since I'm not rushing off tonight, not rushing off.
I appreciate this.
I have recently, I am too old for Instagram and Twitter. However, I'm making an effort. So I am now on Instagram. So if any of my friends, and I apologize for borrowing this moment, but you guys are all my friends. So if any of my friends want to go find me on Instagram, that would be really cool. Thank you. If you Instagram.
Well, what do we look up? Are you just Tamara in Indiana?
I'm very creative. I'm Tamara Horton Sailor.
All right. I'm looking you up right now.
Tamara Horton Sailor.
All right.
You sail Hortons?
Sailor, S-A-Y-L-O-R.
Tamara, I'm just playing around.
Horton, like Horton, here's a who.
Tamara, I just found you. I got you.
When I was a kid, our phone answering machine was Horton hatched an egg and Horton heard a who, and maybe if you beg, Horton will call you.
Ho, ho, ho.
My parents were very sweet. They let me put it on the recorder. Anyway, all right. Thank you very much.
Tamara,
I love you so.
Very quickly, I'm going to throw this out to you. Learn Instagram, because in my opinion, I'm saying this for the benefit of everyone listening, by the way, too, as far as promoting yourself on social media and things like that, any particular social media platform, I think far and away, Instagram's the best.
Right?
It's also the most positive-minded platform that I've seen. I enjoy it quite a bit. And yeah, I found Tamara. And if you want to find me, I'm really creative too. It's Michael Amade. So you can find me there as well.
How do you spell Amade?
A-M-I-D as in David, E-I.
Oh, that's nice too. That's not how I would have spelled it. I'm glad I asked. Thank you very much. No, that's what I've discovered. I'm on Facebook and I Facebook with my friends and I post poems there. But it's limited to just my friends really then. And it doesn't get shared like Instagram. And Instagram, it's a different beast to learn, but there's definitely a poetry community out there. And
the largest poets, the largest new poets of the last 10 years have come from Instagram. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm very excited to be out there. And so all I've been doing, I take a clip, some photo or graphic of some sort. I put a smidgen of the words from my poem on there on the graphic. And then I put my poem, I stash my poem in the whatever that's called, the caption, and I hashtag it as best I can. And I have like, you know, 12 people in the whole world that know I'm there, but yay.
It'll grow. Tamara, I'll tell you a story another time about how I turned a poem into $200 in about 15 minutes worth of work off Instagram.
I want to hear that story. That's amazing. I love stories, but I'm money too. Yay.
Remind me next time we talk.
Excellent. Thank you. All right. Have a great night. Thanks, guys.
You as well. Thank you. And that was Tamara calling from Indiana, telling us all about her Instagram stories.
Which is kind of ironic, right?
It's kind of funny. All right. No, actually, and by the way, everyone who is listening, I am saying this because as I've been doing a kind of a long form research into what it takes to get some attention as a poet in the world today. Instagram, definitely worth looking up. If you've ever gone into a bookstore and seen books written by a poet named Rupi Kaur, that's where she started. And she still is very active. All right. So that actually does it for our return engagement. So we'll just leave it like this. From Novia, the studio cat, from Ursa, the studio dog, from JT, from myself, from the billions of people slamming their fists on the door asking for another show next week. I know the media doesn't cover it because it's fake news. No, I'm totally kidding. All right, everybody, thank you so much. We love you. Thank you for coming and sharing your time with us, your work with us. And until we talk again, keep on writing. We'll see you next week.